Also, they wanted me to say a few words about Brother Richard Crane, and my dad's going to say some more too. Of all the men that I've met, and of course, a lot of this 70 years, I've been with my dad, and I've met a lot of folks. But I can honestly tell you, I've never met a more unique man than Brother Richard Crane. Can everybody say amen to that? And we would go by there, Morristown, Tennessee, and Brother Richard was, of course, he was a fireball in that day. He was just moving all the time. Just the energy was unbelievable. I was just a little bitty boy, and I was just in awe of him. But one of my memories that I want to relate to you, and it's very humorous in some ways, but it just tells you what kind of man Brother Richard has been. We came in. They were having their meeting there at Morristown. Of course, at that time, there were just people everywhere, and they was trying to place people everywhere. I found out that Uncle Dan and myself were going to be sleeping up in the attic with Brother Richard Crane. So I didn't know what we was in for, but anyway, it was late at night, and we went up these steps, real narrow steps, and I guess they ran out of places to put folks, and they put us up there. Best I remember, they had a little three-quarter bed on one side, and I believe it was a half bed on the other, Brother Richard, and just barely room to get between the two. Of course, Brother Richard was running the meeting, and he was busy and all of that. And Uncle Dan had already and I had already went to bed, sleeping in this little three-quarter bed. And then I heard Brother Richard coming. Boy, he was running up those steps, and he run up stairs. There was an outside light just shined in through a little window there where you just kind of see the outline of folks. So anyway, he came up. And he hadn't saw Uncle Dan in a long time. So him and Uncle Dan started conversing about people they knew. All this time, Brother Richard was getting ready for bed. So about that time, I looked over, and Brother Richard, like most folks do, just kind of kneeled down. Brother Richard just fell down on his knees. I never heard such praying in my life. And he was praying, and I'm telling you, he was fervent in it. Before it was over with, he was waving his hands to heaven, and then after a little bit, he'd think about something else. And he said, "Now, Brother Dan, what about old sister so-and-so?" And, of course, Uncle Dan would answer him, and it didn't slow him down much. He'd just take right on off going again. Before it was over with, Brother Richard, this is the truth, he had shouted up and down between those beds, and I'm sorry, Brother Richard, but I got tickled. I was a little boy, and he shouted up and down through there, and then all of a sudden I looked over, and he jumped up in the bed and pulled the covers up, and I thought, well, we're fixing to go to sleep. And about that time, it sounded like the bed was tearing apart. He jumped out of that bed, and he started getting blessed again. I don't know what all he done. If you know Brother Richard Crane, that's the man that I knew when I was a little boy. He loved God. He loved the house of God. He loved children. I don't believe I've ever been anywhere where he was at and he had charge of the service, or maybe wanted to take charge of the service, that he didn't want to bring the children up and do a booster band. He's been a great man all down through the years. I hope I didn't take too much time. God bless you.
We have a couple of plaques we'd like to present to Brother and Sister Birdsong, also Brother Crane. They're both presented this 29th day of January, and this plaque is given in honor of your steadfast devotion and consecrated service to the kingdom of God. You have served sacrificially, preached passionately, and walked worthily in honor to the King of Kings. Thank you for being a godly voice to the independent holiness people. Your life has been an inspiration to many, and you have performed the duties of your office admirably. And the scriptures inscribe Matthew 25:21. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Also, we have a small financial blessing we'd like to be to both of these tonight. So put your hands once again together for Brother and Sister Birdsong and Brother Crane.
Say a little something about you.
Y'all can be seated.
Us and Brother Crane had some wonderful times together, and he was a young fellow when we first went to Marstown, and he had went there just a young fellow before then, and this home had took him in, and so that's where we stayed. They had a big old upstairs house. And Brother Richard, he was there, and we had good times together. And I've never seen anything bad out of Brother Richard.
All right.
That's the truth. That's right. And we've appreciated him all of these years. Appreciate you, and forgive us if we've took up too much time.
I appreciate this opportunity. I thank the Lord for the bird songs. I've known him for many years, and I knew that he was 15 years old when he answered the call to preach, and I believe Dan was 19, and then a little later, why, he married Sister Fern, and they did a great work for the Lord, and still in the fight for the right, and that's wonderful. I was born and raised in Carmi, Illinois, in southern Illinois, and I came to Morristown when I was 18 years old, and I think Harold's seated here. He was about 6 or 7 years old. Is that right, or how many? Six. Pardon? Oh, three. And I would like to say this for the benefit of this meeting. I appreciate seeing all of you here, and these two brothers that have been primary leaders in this meeting for all the years that it's been going on, Brother Ingram and Brother Ralston. And through the years, it was the God's will that I try to put some things together about the Bible and from a theological standpoint. And over here, where you eat after church, well, there's a back table there with some beautiful things some young lady put out. And then look beyond that, and there's some literature that we put out. And if you want to match the two together, that's your business. But we do have a few copies of the Pentecostal Handbook. I think it's 344 pages, and it covers a lot of the Pentecostal movement in the United States, and quite a bit of history on the beginning of the Pentecostal people in Acts 2 and 4, 10 and 46, and 19 and 6. From the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established. And we tell about very early groups like the Waldenses and the Sabellians and not the Sabellians, but what was his name? The Sabellians, about 300 years later, went to oneness doctrine, and it's still in existence today. And it'll come to me, Montanus. They were very much scripturally sound, as far as I could find out. But in 1981, we were in the camp meeting in August down in Savannah, Georgia, and Brother Butler, such a precious man, one of my heroes, he invited me to have something to say. So I said I probably wouldn't be up there very long, but I think it developed into an hour. Now don't get nervous. We do have a disc over here. Brother Harold fixed it from a tape to a disc, and it's about the theological teaching of the divine Trinity in opposition to the oneness doctrine, Sabellianism. And there may be some oneness folks that are saved, but when they get to heaven, they'll know there's more than just Christ. He didn't come to do his own will. He came to do the will of the Holy Father that sent him. And then there's other booklets over there, and there's a few copies of that handbook. And there can be some arrangements made. Brother Ingram's son-in-law can fix some discs and things about the pictures of preachers. And it's primarily independent folks. And in that picture book, there's 850 different pictures and other information. And there's approximately 4,000 people represented in that picture book. A lot of them are preachers. Some of them are dead and gone. Some of them are here right now in this meeting. So if you want to copy, I'm not charging anything, but if you want to give something for this meeting, just count it as part of the expense for this meeting. I never have put any price on anything that I've put together that way. There's other booklets there, and I never have put any price on those things through these years, but through the mercy of God, we've got them together and print them for the glory of God to be a help and a benefit, and that's the only thing we really meant. Now, maybe it's time. Here's one of those booklets now. Are we at the crossroads? Well, I won't try to read that one. And then there's another message. Pardon? Bless him, Lord. Thank you, sister. That was a sister saying, bless him, Lord. Amen. The next one is, the next message is The Art of Preaching. Text. And I give several scriptures. And I also give 2 Timothy 4 and 2. I charge thee therefore, Paul says, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove. Now, what does that mean, out of season, in season? Well, there's just sometimes, you know how that goes. Sometimes you're being blessed. Other times you're carrying a heavy burden. But anyway, it says right here, who shall judge the quick and the dead? Christ will at his appearing in his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And I've met that attitude, we don't want to hear doctrine. Well, that's the doctrine of no doctrine. It is a doctrine. It's foolish. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves itching ears. I mean, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And we've got a lot of preachers now, probably not us. I hope not. I'm sorry it's them that are just preaching things to more or less smooth over. God help us. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Now let me finish. Hello over there. I hear you, baby. Preaching is the oral communication of divine truth through man to men with the purpose of persuasion. Hebrew bazaar. To bear tidings. Gara. To call. Proclaim, Greek, kerosa, to proclaim, to herald. Preaching is a very old profession. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:5, right over in the New Testament, telling about the Old Testament. Preaching in the New Testament is from a person who has the inner call from the Holy Ghost and the external call from the church and has been duly set apart to proclaim the gospel, Acts 13 and 2. Read in there and find out who they're talking about. The preacher's task is to speak as a personal witness to God's revelation, either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine, 1 Corinthians 14:6. He is to interpret, explain, and apply the gospel to the needs of the people. There is expository preaching that is expounding or interpreting verse by verse. This could be without notes, extemporaneous. Doctrinal preaching needs able apologists to speak in defense of the pure doctrine. The 10 important subjects of Bible doctrine are, number one, angelology, the doctrine of angels. Number two, anthropology, the doctrine of man. Number three, bibliology or Bibleology, the doctrine of the scriptures. Christology, the doctrine of Christ. Ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church. Number six, eschatology, the doctrine of last things. Now, there are seven orders to the first resurrection. Christ, the first fruit, then those Old Testament bridehood saints, and then shortly, the Lord's coming again to some rapture folks out. Say, no, we're going to wait till the tribulation. No, you don't have to. If you rightly divide the word of God, he's going to come soon. And there will be a great company of saints rather during the tribulation when the mark of the beast takes complete control rather than have a mark to buy or sell. They won't take it. And numbers of them will be killed by the system of the mark of the beast. Oh, this is America. No, it's not a different story. As sad as it is, the mark of the beast is going to rule over the majority of the world. All right. And there's two witnesses there that'll be raptured out. There's 144,000 of the Jews that'll be raptured out. There's a great company during the great tribulation that would not take the mark of the beast. They'll die rather than take the mark of the beast, and they'll be raptured out. See, I thought when the rapture took place, they'd just get everybody's ready, and the rest was just too late. Well, now wait and read your Bible some more. Jesus, the first order of the resurrection, he's the first one. And those Old Testament bridehood saints, as he was caught away, they were changed and caught away. Now, he's the first fruits. Let me read on if I can find my place. The ecclesiology, the doctrine of the church, eschatology, the doctrine of last things, hamartology, the doctrine of sin. Pneumatology, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Number nine, soteriology, the doctrine of salvation. Number 10, theology, the doctrine of God. Doctrine is that which is taught. Doing God's will gives knowledge of true doctrine. John 7:17. Doctrine and fellowship go hand in hand. Acts 2:42. Doctrine profits. 1 Corinthians 14:6-26. Ministers are to charge folks to teach nothing but right doctrine, 1 Timothy 1:3 and 6:3. A doctrine according to godliness. Ministers are to give heed to love, faith, doctrine, and a continuance therein. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee, 1 Timothy 4:16. Doctrine is not to be kept secret. What do you believe, preacher? Well, I believe you can be saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost. Let me read here. Ministers to give heed to love, faith, doctrine, and a continuance therein. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. 1 Timothy 4:16, doctrine is not to be kept secret. 2 Timothy 3:10, if one brings wrong doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. This is Bible, 2 John 10 and 11. Heresy is the teaching of false teachers, and it is a choice or an opinion, in particular a self-willed opinion, which is substituted for submission to the power of truth. It leads to divisions and formulations of sects or parties or schisms, Galatians 5:20. It is often the outcome of personal preference or the prospect of advantage. There's a lot of preachers today that's not preaching holiness in a number of ways. The dress standard is largely left many of the Pentecostal church organizations and many of the independent churches. But I'm glad you're still contending for the faith from the looks of things to me that was once delivered unto the saints. Ethical preaching, now I'm about through here with this. Standards of right or wrong, 2 Timothy 2:6. The husbandman that laboreth must be first a partaker of the fruits. Thou therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Romans 2:21-22, quote, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men, Matthew 15:9. False religion, identified as ceremonialism, a false profession, legalism, traditions, sanctimony, formalism, hypocrisy, inconsistency, and superstition. And then I give Mark 7:14 down about 40 references here in the Bible. Preaching is more than oratorical or public speaking. There are those that have a wonderful delivery as far as their speech and things, but they're not really called to preach. I mean, there's politicians that can do that. There's movie stars that can do that. There's people that can do that. And there's even some that say they're preachers and they have a wonderful oratorical skill, but then they wrest the scriptures. They get them out of context. And yet they make it look so applicable. God have mercy upon us. Let me read on. Elocution is the act of speaking or reading clearly and effectively in public. God don't care what whether you're playing with it or not. Ha! Now, I have heard some preachers, bless God, amen, glory to God, people's going to hell, thank God, by the millions, they're dying lost, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, we need to trust the Lord. My God, what opportunity to straighten their preaching out if they would. Say, well, they don't really mean some of what they're saying. Well, why are they saying it for? Ha! Hey! Now that kind of, I don't mean to be out of the order or unsanctified, but that, I just don't like to hear a preacher get up and just, ha, 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 ha. And it's all right to say amen some of the time, but just saying amen, glory to God, hallelujah, thank God, aren't you glad? Amen, glory to God for the good meal you had today, thank God, amen. Aren't you glad for this wonderful meeting that we're in tonight? Thank you, Lord. Amen, glory to God, ha, glory to God, ha, 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 hallelujah, ha, ha. Repetition for effect is profitable, but repetition for word fillers become tiresome. And distractive to the hearers and taken away from one's preaching. I forget that preacher's name, but he said when he first started out, he said amen so much. He said amen more than he said anything else. But it seemed like he got settled better. And made a real good preacher. He's dead and gone now. Time limit. Blessed is the preacher that reaches the crux of his message and stops when the Lord desires him to stop. I hope you'll get one of those. It's not tapes now. It's disc, CDs. And me and trying to preach on the Godhead and teach about Azusa Street Mission, people I met that were veterans of Azusa Street, and how that folks went oneness and so forth and so on. Now, the majority of Azusa Street didn't go oneness, but some did. And it takes me at least an hour. But I want you to have one anyway. And I'm not charging you one penny. But if you're able to give something to help this meeting keep going on, well, that'd help me to be glad in my heart. Something's telling me it's about time for me to sit down. Time limit. Blessed is the preacher that reaches the crux of his message and stops when the Lord desires him to stop. At that moment, most advantageous to the spiritual benefit of the hearers. 30 to 40 minutes. Oh, watch out now. 30 to 40 minutes. Let me see. Where am I at? Is generally long enough for any anointed preacher to reach the apex of his message. Sometimes less time is needed. It is not to a preacher's credit that he is known to be long-winded. But now I'm not trying to take away no preacher that's supposed to come on. Is he here tonight?
Yeah, he's here.
Where's he at? Right over there. Oh, he's here. Waiting on me? Where in the world am I at? I'm trying to quit.
Yeah, okay.
Homiletics is the art of composing and preaching sermons. Hermeneutics means to explain, interpret, or to translate the Holy Scriptures. This involves word studies. Principles of hermeneutics are recognition that the Bible is God's word in a totally unique and authoritative way, that it is divinely and fully inspired, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Attention to literary form is a frame of reference logically prior to the words themselves. Consider, is it poetry, prophetical, sunset and evening star, and one clear call for me? And may there be no moaning of the bar when I put out to sea, but such a tide as move. That's poetic. That's poetical. I won't try to quote the rest of it. Is it poetry, proverbial wisdom, history, chronicle, a sermon, an oracle, a parable, an allegory, or an apocalyptic, or an epistle? There are also character studies, also Hebraism, are in both the Old and New Testaments, as well as numerous colloquialisms, types of everyday speech. Key words, their meaning, they are essential to their in their setting, a lexicon, dictionary, or Greek and Hebrew words. A good dictionary is a selection of the words of a language or of some special subjects of the theological terms arranged alphabetically with explanations of their meanings and other information about them, and a concordance and an alphabetical list of the principal words of the Bible. I'm nearly through now. If I don't get started again, God help me. Words of the Bible with reference to the passages in which they occur is vital to a proper word study. Key words must relate to the content of the passage as a whole in its context. The principal rule of exegesis is context. Context falls into two kinds, literary and historical. Literary context is the paragraph, the chapter, the book, the testament, and ultimately the whole of scriptures. Now listen carefully. Any part must be interpreted in the light of the whole. One reason we got all kinds of different doctrines out here in this world is because folks will take one part of the scripture and won't rightly divide it with the other part of the scriptures. And you don't take just a part here and a part there. You've got to take it all and put it together, and it'll come out right. Interpretation is in the light of progressive revelation, where a statement appears in Scripture, determines its theological weight, and to some extent its very meaning. There is a unity in Scripture, and the core of this unity is Christ. The whole of Scripture interprets the parts of Scripture, and no part may be interpreted in such fashion as to distort the whole. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. This eliminates lazy preachers. Now, I just put that in there. That needeth not, now I'm reading the rest of the Scripture. That needeth not to be ashamed, right, and dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2:15. All preachers, are you getting that one in order? All right. All preachers are exhorters, but some exhorters are not preachers. There's a difference. You can be an exhorter, but you may not be a preacher. You may be a good mother, and you can just tell it's so sweet and so good. You may testify good, but this does not mean that you're called to preach. All preachers must be honest and of good report without and within. They cannot be true preachers with two living wives. And I don't recommend anybody else with two living wives. But anyway, they need to maintain a neat appearance and be, and Brother Harrow wanted me to be even neater than what I am now. And be industrious about God's work. Preaching is the greatest call given to a person. Well, I'm a little bit sad, but I appreciate getting to stand here. But I know you want me to sit down probably. But if you give me 2 or 3 minutes and invite all these little children up here,
how many appreciate Brother Crane? Put your hands together and let him know.